You know, when a church gets away from sharing the gospel with the lost and bringing people to Jesus Christ, that church has essentially lost its reason for existence. The fact is, Jesus left us here on this planet to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to build committed, faithful, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, featuring the teaching and encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. We come to you every month through this podcast to try to encourage you in the work of local church ministry. And today's topic is the soul-winning church by His Spirit. How do you keep soul-winning, evangelism, outreach, getting the gospel to the lost? How do you keep that as a priority? Because as the church grows, as the ministry develops, all kinds of administration and needs seem to crowd out the most important thing, and that is sharing the gospel, the life-changing message of Christ, with those who so desperately need it. And so today's lesson is encouraging us to stay focused on, to stay committed to that which is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus, winning the lost through the gospel message. The soul-winning church by His Spirit, about how it's all dependent upon the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. This message was originally taught at the Spiritual Leadership Conference about a year ago or so to a group of pastors, and so we're going to pull up a chair in the back of the room and listen in to Dr. Chappell. Before we do, I want to encourage you in two ways. First of all, we're just a couple of weeks away from our annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 10th through the 13th, and whether or not you're planning to be with us in person, the entire conference will be streamed, and we hope you'll take a moment and join us for the morning and evening services and enjoy the entire Spiritual Leadership Conference from the comfort of your own living room chair if you'd like. Also, be sure to check us out at strivingtogether.com after the conference. All of the sessions will be available for download, all the video and resources. It'll be a tremendous wealth of knowledge and resources that will be available to you right after the conference. Also, don't forget, if you'd like a copy of today's outline, if you'd like to subscribe to that outline, it's complimentary. All you need to do is visit Dr. Chappell's blog at paulchappell.com, click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, send us your email address, and once a month you'll get a notification that this podcast is posted, and you'll have a link to today's outline as well. Well, let's listen in now to this lesson, The Soul-Winning Church by His Spirit.
Well, we've quoted it this week, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And again, as I often say, this is not a session about church growth. I liked what Brother Davidson said last night. It's not about going to the next level and going to the next level. I know right now of a few good, well-intentioned men that they're approaching church building and church planning with somewhat of a business model. And again, we need to count the cost. We need to be organized. But as I've been telling my two sons in recent months, without the anointing and without the preaching, it just won't happen. And if it does happen, I don't know that we're very interested in it. And so we're not here today to talk about how to get to the next level or how to grow. You know, we're here to talk about at this conference how to be obedient, how to be in the Spirit what we're supposed to be. We're to be witnesses. And then we also must bear in mind that phrase in Acts 2:41, and the Lord added unto the church. The Lord added unto the church. And we should want Him to add freely as He sees the need. Dr. Curtis Hudson wrote me a letter back in September of 1994 that I have in a book in my study. And he was beginning his battle with cancer and wrote me a series of letters during that period of time in his life. And one of the letters said, I challenge you now to take your stand in the long line of independent fundamental Baptists who have stood for separation and soul winning. And I really appreciated that. You know, I don't think I want to be condescending, but it's not wrong for some of you guys to find, and I was doing this with, we had about 200 alumni, I had a little meeting with them yesterday afternoon, and I just challenged them like that and went up to some of them, hit them on the shoulder and said, man, you know, stay the course and stay on the old path and this type of thing. And I appreciate men who have challenged me in the area of soul winning, separation, things of this nature. And I'd like to try to just bring a challenge here about pastoring soul-winning churches, because listen, there are There are good teaching churches. There are good missions-minded churches. There's churches that have various different strengths. But all of us should desire a soul-winning church because that's the heart of God. How does it happen? Number one, we need to hear the Holy Spirit's invitation. The Holy Spirit's invitation. Strong convictions precede great actions, and we must be convicted of the fact that the Holy Spirit is still calling men. He's witnessing in every city. The Holy Spirit invites men, Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Holy Spirit, how many of you believe he's still inviting people to come to the Savior? And how many of you believe when you give the invitation on Sunday morning, you're really just extending the Lord's invitation? Amen? Because he's inviting. He witnesses in every city. I love that thought there. He's talking to somebody right now in your hometown that you can go knock on their door Saturday and perhaps see saved. I mean, we're just entering into his labor. That's what a blessing that it's not our work. It's his that we're imparted to and sent out and deputized to be a part of. Letter B, we need to get this in our mind. The Holy Spirit invites whosoever. Okay? And we as independent Baptists have had a soul-winning fervor because of that simple belief that whosoever will, he's not willing that any should perish. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Whosoever will may come. And we recognize that God knows who's going to get saved before they get saved. He's God. And we understand his attributes and his omniscience. But we also understand he's given us a command to go into all the world and to preach to every creature. And he's told us that whoever will may come. Now listen. What's great is not necessarily a new building or a new staff or a new band or a new video camera. What is great is Sunday morning people getting saved. That's what's great. That is, I mean, so many guys say, oh man, what a great website. You know, that's great. Really? How many did you have down the aisle last Sunday? Man, did you see this flash? Did you see this program? Did you see this or that? And, you know, we need to use the stuff, and it's all good and fine and everything, but it's not great. What's great is people getting saved. And the minute these guys buy into this stuff that, you know, it's not really up to us and so forth. And we know it's not up to us. We know we're not the soul winners. We know that it's the Holy Spirit. But he has commissioned us to go. And he has said that anybody can get saved. I mean, look at, we might as well pull all the missionaries off the field if we're going to take this to an extreme. And thank God that he died for the sins, according to the word of God, of the whole world. And he would have all men to be saved. So we've got to hear the Holy Spirit's invitation. And number two, we've got to receive the Holy Spirit's empowerment. The Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of salvation, Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit indwells. Secondly, the Holy Spirit teaches. John 14:26, he shall teach you all things. And shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The Holy Spirit teaches. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. And God help us and deliver us from that. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. Brother Norris brought a tremendous message Sunday night on the church at Antioch and how the grace of God was so evident there. And boy, that's what we want. We want people to sense and know the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And so he empowers the yielded. Empowers the filled and wants each and every one of us to go out in his power. And what a blessing. I thank God there was a man from Paonia, Colorado, who had gone to a year at Moody Bible Institute back in the 1940s and had learned about witnessing and soul winning. Came back to Colorado and just had a burden for people in rural country. Somehow made his way down towards Cortez, Colorado, where he met my granddad, who had only graduated through the eighth grade and had no church background, really, and maybe a little bit of Church of Christ attendance here and there. But that man, with a passion for souls, drove 100 miles or so and going from farm to farm and found my granddad on a John Deere tractor and led him to Jesus Christ. And because of that, many have been saved. But that man had to be yielded to do that. He had to be obedient to do that. And he had to believe that people had a need in order to go lead my granddad to Christ. And so he empowers the yielded. He empowers the filled. Letter D, the Holy Spirit converts. He's the one who connects the listener to the truth. He conveys the truth to the listener. He convicts the listener. It's all about the working of the Holy Spirit. And Oswald Chambers said, when it is a question of God's almighty Spirit, never say, I can't. How many of you believe he's able to save to the uttermost? He is able. He's able. The Lord is able. So we hear the Holy Spirit's invitation to whosoever. We receive the Holy Spirit's empowerment for the yielded Christian. Thirdly, we must then provide the Holy Spirit's direction. We must provide the Holy Spirit's direction. And that's, again, where the pastor wants to be the steward of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So letter A, he's going to direct through the Word of God. Direct through the Word of God. So we preach Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Now, will we do practical things like put out a clipboard so people can sign up after we preach? Absolutely. I mean, we're preaching for decisions. We're preaching so that people will make Spirit-led decisions, and we have to be willing then to take that decision and help someone follow through with that decision. Do you know what I did a few weeks ago? I've been preaching this series, Power for Life, and I've been preaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the life of the Christian. So 1 Peter 4, I preached on the divine enablements that God puts into us, the spiritual gifts, and preached an entire message on Sunday morning on spiritual gifts. And I said, some of you maybe sense some ways you could serve God, or you're interested in this, and you would like to know how to serve God. And you always have those in the Sunday morning crowd that they just need to come get rooted a little more and get involved somehow. And I passed out those cards in the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service. And we had more than 300 people fill out a card saying that they'd like to get involved in some kind of ministry. They'd like to know their spiritual gift. They'd like to talk to a pastoral staff about their spiritual gift. And we were just a little bit shocked by that, and we've emailed them. We've started to meet with them. It's going to take us a month or two to sit down with all of them and help them with that. But, you know, just through understanding that biblical principle, it piqued a curiosity. The Spirit began to work in their heart that they had a place in the body to serve. And I'm excited to see them, through the Word of God, make that step and get involved in ministry. Letter B, he directs through his pastors. He directs through his pastors. The pastor establishes the oversight, Acts 20, 28, overseers, 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And this is where the pastor begins to see maybe a weakness. Maybe there was something announced, a few people signed up, but no one followed through to set the appointments. Or maybe someone came to soul winning, tables weren't set up. Pastor's always seeing that. I was with Brother Bobby a few years ago at Walkertown, and we walked by a bulletin board, and there was something on that bulletin board that he didn't like on there. And Brother Bobby, we were standing there, and he's talking to me about whatever, and he kept looking over there, looking over there. And it was some kind of maybe a meeting in their area or something. He goes, Brother Paul, you just have to watch all the time. People just putting all kinds of stuff like this right here on here. And you just have to watch all the time. And he reached over and took that thing off. And you know what that told me is that still in his 70s, after all these years of fighting, and I think what was up there was probably a little bit new evangelical. And after all these years, still he cared enough to notice that. And one of the things you need to try to practice is MBWA, manage by walking around. And as you're walking around and you feel like something that's been set in place is falling apart, write it down, work on it. You've got to work on it as the overseer of the ministry. The pastor establishes oversight. The pastor establishes order, Titus 1:5, set in order the things that are wanting. See, how do you establish those things, Brother Chappell? Just five things that I think I put in your notes. First, through biblical preaching. Just preaching the scriptures. Secondly, through training clinics. We have in the fall, we'll talk about this in a moment, we have 15 weeks of soul winning training. It's big. We sign people up for it. We use to seek and to save. We call that track one. That's basic, how to lead someone to Christ. Track two is how to witness to the cults. It's how to answer questions, difficult questions. And we have teachers assigned for that, track one, track two. We have training clinics oftentimes. We have our staff orientation in 3 weeks. We take the staff off site. We'll take counting the spouses, maybe 300 plus folks, and I have already prepared 5 lessons for them. I'll introduce the theme to them for next year, and I'm going to train the staff on some things. I have a lesson for them on soul winning and discipleship as well, just reiterating. I have some things for them that deal with interrelated staff items, purchase orders, things of those types. But training. We take the deacons apart once a year, and we train them on everything from altar work to benevolence, to counting, to the deacons meeting, to the committee work, and we talk to them about doing this with a servant's heart. We put a lot of that into this 200-page new book coming out on the Baptist deacon, and it's just a training times like this. We have written policies and procedures. The book Order in the Church has a lot of the basics for the Sunday ministry. We have another policies and procedures book we're going to publish over the course of this next year. That's all the office and daily policies and procedures, about 250 pages of policies and procedures relating to all kinds of the business side of things and personnel issues and vacations and things of that nature. We just try to set things in writing so people know what's expected of them. We have a lot of intentional mentoring. We will take a new staff member and make him an intern. We'll give him lots of jobs without a title. We won't call him an assistant pastor. We won't call him an associate pastor. We'll call him an intern. And we'll just train him and train him and train him and train him. We'll put someone as an assistant in a class. We won't call them the teacher. We'll just let them learn and mentor and mentor. And in soul winning, someone that's just in the training point. And we have trained and observant leadership. We teach our staff to be watching for things that need to be shored up. So provide direction in the church. Number four, we want to follow the Holy Spirit's program. The Holy Spirit's program. And there are many passages that illustrate it, but here's one in Acts chapter 13 and of the church at Antioch, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Okay, watch this. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. They're worshiping. And then the Bible says, who spoke? The Holy Ghost spoke. Okay, so the Holy Spirit of God is the prime mover in this matter of reaching the world. And what did he say? He said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, in the same sense, we need to pray the Holy Spirit would raise up and separate out soul winners, leaders, of course, the missionaries in this passage. And this is what we're praying, that God will move on hearts. And we might pass a card out if you're interested. We have once a year the ministry involvement night. We've taught about that in years past, where all the ministries set up a display in the gymnasium. I preach about serving God. Everybody goes to the gym. They'll see the usher's table and guys there talking about being an usher. And they'll see the bus ministry table. And they'll see the youth ministry table. And they'll see the Sunday school table and the nursery table. And here's what we tell them. Walk around the tables. Talk to the people. And if you have a sense that you'd like to serve in one of those ministries, fill out the interest card at the table. Okay? So the preaching of the word is what the Holy Spirit uses to stir them about the privilege of service. The pastor creates moments so they can understand how they can serve and respond to what God initially did in our heart. One of our greatest responsibilities as pastors is to help those opportunities open up. Because a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. Okay? How many of you believe it's our job to equip all the saints for the work of the ministry? Right? That's what we're talking about here, is getting them involved in the ministry. So the ministry of soul winning. How can we help in this matter of developing a Spirit-led program? Letter A, it should be a program that involves training, 2 Timothy 2:2. So our soul winning program on Tuesday mornings, Tuesday nights, during the peak fall and spring seasons, always has a little more of an extensive training. We use the team soul winning workbook, and I'll preach on soul winning a few times, and we'll pass out a soul winning enrollment card. I think that's one of your handouts there if you'd like to look at it, just a registration. It says soul winning level. I have been trained. I'm ready to train another. I've had some training. I'd like to be trained by someone a bit more experienced. I'm new to witnessing. I'd like to have track one. I'd like to have track two. I'm planning on going soul winning at the following time. Now, as the churches get a little bit larger, it's really important to get that information up front. And then we sit down as pastoral staff, primarily Brother Furso and a few others, and they literally go, okay, this guy signed up good. He's been through several years of training. Oh, here's a guy that just signed up. He just got saved 3 months ago. I'm going to put them together because they both check Tuesday night. And we literally think this way so that when we have the kickoff night, we'll have a brief message, and then they go meet their partners, they have prayer, they start to make some strategy, and they plan to meet the following week and get out soul winning. And we have found that if we'll just take some time to work like that on it before the soul winning season begins, and don't misunderstand, we go soul winning 52 weeks, but when we really kick it off the first week of September, we do this during the month of August, trying to enroll people in our soul winning. We enlist two times annually. The big time is August, and the next time is January. So the latter part of January, we'll have another booster. Some of you, how many of you have a booster missions conference? All right. What if you had a great soul-winning week where you signed everybody up on the last night of the conference, and they went soul-winning for 15 weeks? Then you let it go a little bit, maybe during the Christmas season, because it's Christmas. You're still going soul-winning, but you're not pressuring and so forth. You're just you have a great soul-winning season. Then what if you had a booster soul-winning Sunday, the second Sunday of January, second Sunday night, and you said, hey, everybody that signed up back there, why don't we sign up again, and let's get faithful again going out soul-winning. See what I'm saying? And say, well, you know, we do it for missions. We have a missions conference and a booster missions Sunday, okay? Well, what about the home missions? What about reaching people? You say, but missions is money, Brother Chapel. So we do it, we have the one, and then we have the booster, all right? But that's good, but what about getting people involved in soul winning, see? And you've recognized they need a reminder to keep involved in missions, but how many of you feel they need a reminder to stay involved in soul winning? That's the whole point of this, all right? So we kick it off, we sign them up, then we booster them, if you will, in January. Number two, we rotate partners. Sometimes I sense that some people will get comfortable, maybe, and it helps them to reinvigorate, to go back out with someone new again. And we believe that soul winning is better caught than taught, and they need to be around someone who's excited about soul winning. Number three, provide multiple opportunities. What I mean by that is a lot of different kinds of calls that we might want to employ. If you were to go to the basket of the home builders class, you'd see a door knocking area, because every class has a door knocking area. You'd see new move-ins in their door knocking area. We give them several cards. This is a new family that moved into your area. We use the homeowner's marketing service, and they send those to us once a month. Then you'd see visitors from last Sunday who were visitors according to that class's age and so forth. So we're providing a lot of different calls. And there's some people just say, just give me a door knocking map. You know, they want to go door knocking. Some people are more comfortable with a follow-up visit. Some people like going and visiting the new move-in. And we give those people a gift like a coffee mug or something like that. There's nothing wrong with recognizing people at different, you know, different temperaments. And, hey, they're out soul winning. They're going out with you. They're carrying gospel tracts. And so they don't all have to be street preachers to be really good Christians. Okay, just a thought. All right, you didn't like that, some of you, but it's okay. Just I'm not against street preaching. I'm just saying some of our folks haven't gotten there yet. Number three, number four, keep a record of all visitors. Keep a record of all visitors. And I believe I've given you a little handout on that as well. And here's just a little follow-up visit, maybe on the back of how we try to keep track of how they came, and we'll create visitation cards. Then we'll put them out on Tuesdays. We'll update it on Friday, and then if we haven't visited them from Monday to Friday, we'll try to get back out and see them on Saturday. By that point, sometimes we'll call them ahead and say, we tried and you weren't there. You're going to be there tomorrow. I'm talking about the follow-up visits right now, and that's how we try to do that. So we have a program of training, letter B. We have a program for witnessing, Acts 1:8. And here is a basic to that. Number one, door-to-door. We go out door-to-door, and I still believe in it. I believe in saturation evangelism. I believe if you were to study every great church in America, this is where it starts. It starts with a man with a passion and normally no money. right? And he asked somebody to give him enough money to make tracks, right? And then he just goes door to door. Now, we don't obviously endorse everything about Jerry Falwell's ministry. Most of you will understand what I'm going to say. But read his book, Strength for the Journey, and just read it. How many of you get blessed by biographies, okay? And I get blessed by biographies, but you may not appreciate some stuff that happened later in the ministry, but if you want to get a blessing, just read how it started. Here's how it started. The man knocked 100 doors a day. He went 100 doors a day, knocking doors. And I'm just saying, when you study a lot of different churches in the Baptist circles, that's kind of how they got started. We recognize there's stages of growth. Once you get to a certain size, there's more administration, there's more this, there's more that. That's why we as pastors intentionally have to keep the church back with the first love, back to what the commission is, because God didn't call us into the ministry of management. He called us in the ministry of winning our community to Christ. And so door-to-door soul winning. Guys, if you do nothing else from this conference, go home, get a big map of your city, and put a page out for every street. We highlight every street, Elm Street. Here's your street. We don't go to the same streets over and over and over again. We want to conscientiously go to the end. If all you do is just get that. And now when you do that, take that little prospect sheet I gave you yesterday. Carry it with you in your organizer. When you get back to your car, you've been writing it on 3x5 cards. Write down the three that were very interested and the one that got saved. And go back to them then on Saturday. Hey, remember me? I was here the other day. Knocked on your door. Thanks for talking to me. Thanks for the lemonade you gave me. That was great. Want to remind you, church is tomorrow at 11. Love to see you there. And if they'll have a moment, they want to be saved right there, fine. If not, try to get them to come. But whatever, get them to move forward more. And if you would just do that, forget everything else, create a map, go to those streets, write down the ones that are interested, go back to the ones that are interested, and stay after them, and stay after them, and stay after them. And you just keep being obedient, keep being obedient. The Lord's going to do something from that every single time. And I've been amazed. I've knocked sometimes on hundreds of doors and not had one visitor that I invited come. And I've had four families come that I didn't even know. There's a God in heaven who sees faithful Christians. And he blesses them. And I just really believe in that principle. Acts 20:20, publicly from house to house. Acts 8:4, they that were scattered went everywhere. So go door to door, all right? Number two, have special events. Special events. We have our open house Sunday every October. And we like that term. I used to call it the big day. And I'd go say, we're asking people to go to our big day. And the Lord kind of convicted me one day. That's kind of a stupid thing to say to a visitor. Why would they want to come to my, that's like saying, will you come to my birthday? You know, door to door, you know. Hi, my name is Paul Chappell. My birthday is April 23rd. I was wondering if you'd want to come to my birthday. I know you've never seen me before and everything, but hey, why not, you know? How many say that's kind of stupid, you know? So I thought, you know, why would they want to come to the big day of a church that maybe they've never been to? So we call it open house because it's a term that you know, they've come to the school, come to a new store, something like that. And we'll put some displays out. We'll have a special meal. What we do for open house is simple. It's a very basic Sunday morning service, frankly. But every family on that particular day that brings a friend or a family, we serve them chicken cordon bleu out at the gym. And you'll notice in the ministry here that we try to invest. Some of you heard yesterday that when someone visits this church, we send them a little gift card in the mail. I said we send a visitor letter. We'll send a little gift card. Might be for coffee or something like that. And it's just amazing how that little investment will touch someone's heart. Some of you guys take a pie and things of this nature. But when we tell our folks, if you'll commit a guest, we'll provide the meal for you. And on open house, every year, God blesses, and we don't put our attendances in our newspapers and so forth, but it's very, very common to have between 1,000 and 2,000 first-time visitors on that particular day, and many hundreds saved, and we just praise God for it, and it's just people investing and inviting. Okay, just making investments in people's lives, getting to know them, then inviting them in. Open house, Christmas, obviously. I know there are some people who get nervous about Christmas programs or doing a little, you know, presentation. And I'm going to tell you something. We did this when we had 15 in the choir. And if nothing else, our choir gets so excited about inviting friends. And it's grown for us. Lots of times at Christmas, we'll fill this auditorium twice on Saturday night, twice on Sunday morning and then again on Sunday night. It's actually a little bit crazy sometimes how many people wind up coming, and you say, well, I just don't believe in entertainment, and you know, you guys just kind of entertainment, and you put a spotlight and so on and so forth. You know what? I think you've figured out by now, we're not throttling back on the preaching around here, okay? But I can tell you that, and by the way, when we have the Christmas program, they do all this stuff, and they sing, and they come out, and but I always stand right up here and still preach the Word of God afterwards, and we've seen so many people saved through those outreaches, and then we begin all that same follow-up I taught last session. Resurrection, the same thing. Law enforcement is really big for us. Law enforcement appreciation. And again, we try to serve. Let me give you an idea. Brother Furso and Brother Hobbs, who's our financial administrator, every February, they go to several local police stations, and we have this humongous barbecue that we pull on a trailer, and they go to these stations, they call the captain ahead of time, and they say, look, hey, we're coming over from Lancaster Baptist Church, we want to cook lunch for your guys. And what they do, Brother Davison, they just cook hamburgers and bring all the soft drinks and everything, and several of us will go and just cook that stuff for them, and we give them a little gift bag, and it's usually something like a little gospel presentation, maybe a little Christian music or something. And in the bag is that invitation to come to the Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. It's kind of an invest and an invite. And last May when we had it, they were lined up from that palm tree to over here by the baptistry of CHP and LAPD and different ones. And so far we've had two of those officers saved. And frankly, the numbers, the percentages of the officers saved is not as big as maybe some of the other outreaches, but it's still an important part of our outreach, and I believe God has blessed that. Obviously, we have our Friend Day, and we had Friend Day this year. I'm just going to just share a little thought with you, and some of you guys might have better thought than this, but this was great for us. Brother Willis thought of it, and here it was. We asked everyone to commit a friend. We've all done that before. I preached a message, by the way, about bringing our friends and so forth, and then I said, let's all try to have a friend here on Friend Day 3 weeks from now. The week before Friend Day, we asked a bunch of ladies in the church to make homemade chocolate chip cookies. And we had about 500 plates of chocolate chip cookies after church in the lobby. And I said, now everybody who has asked a friend and they've said they'll probably come or they're still thinking about it, don't forget to pick up your chocolate chip cookies. And on it, it was this little reminder, don't forget Friend Day next Sunday, 11 o'clock. Thanks for being my friend. Something simple like that. And chocolate chip cookies. Now, most people like chocolate chip cookies, and so they gave it to him on Monday morning. And so every time they ate a chocolate chip, and the chocolate and the cookie was going down, guess what was going through their mind? Sunday, Friend Day. I'm not just going to eat the guy's cookies and not go to his church. It was amazing. We had I don't know how many visitors. I'm sure we had over 300 visitors that day, and a lot of people saved. Brother Sisk and I went out to a fellow's house that Saturday, named Dana, and a 61-year-old aerospace worker, and led him to Christ because someone gave him cookies at work and invited him to come, and it's just a blessing. So these events, I'm saying, use the special events. I believe that God uses them. We don't do a lot of giveaway stuff. We don't say, you know, bring the most and get this. If you do that, that's fine. But we do invest in these ways, and God has blessed that, okay? Number three, then, of course, follow up on the guests. We talked about that last session, training and so forth. And then letter C, we want to have a program of nurturing, our program involves training people in how to witness, and then we nurture them. Number one, encourage the soul winners. Now, who's in charge of soul winning at your church? If you're running 50 to 100, it's the pastor normally. And then sometimes it's an assistant pastor or a godly layman. Whoever is in charge of it needs to be taught this principle of encouraging the soul winners. You're going to do it through preaching, but the soul winning director also can do it through writing notes. Here's a little something. We will normally sign up about 1,000 soul winners during August. Well, normally we have about 800 people in ministry. They're basically told when they sign up for choir, it's expected that you'll be in soul winning. Some of you have deacons that didn't make that agreement before you became the pastor. You've got to work with that as the Lord leads you, but you can at least enlist new workers under that understanding that our workers here go out soul winning. You're not a legalist to require somebody to do what Jesus requires them to do. Okay. You don't mind asking them to tithe. if they're going to be a deacon. Don't mind asking them to be a soul winner if they're going to be a deacon. Okay. So we have 700 or 800 folks that are already in ministry. They normally always sign up. Then we try to get 200 or 300 and so forth. Now, from the peak of that, I think last year it might have been even 1,100 or 1,200. That doesn't count the college students and so forth. That's a totally different soul winning program. But from the peak of that, September, October, about November, it'll start to drop down. Now, how many of you would say, yeah, that happens at our church too? Okay, we all see that. So at that point, hopefully your partners are saying, hey, I missed you and all that. But at that point, here's what we do. You come into Tuesday night soul winning at Lancaster Baptist Church. There's two ladies sitting out in the front, and they're taking roll. Okay? And whoever's in charge of soul winning gets the copy of that. So now the soul winning director pastors the soul winner. So we tell them, just like your Sunday school class when people are absent, if they're gone a couple weeks from soul winning, just give them a ring and say, hey, we missed you at soul winning. Are you still going to be able to take your partner and so forth? And just nurturing them along in that way. And that's biblical, Hebrews 10:24, just encouraging them and provoking them into love and good works, okay? And then not only encouraging the soul winners, but secondly, of course, encouraging the new converts. And that's done in the process we discussed earlier, getting them into a class, getting them into discipleship. Letter D, we have a program of accountability that we exercise with our soul winners. I touched on that briefly as far as nurturing and encouraging. Let's take it another level. And Acts 14:27 shows us that those missionaries that went out, they had to come back and give an account to the local church at Antioch. And I just believe that that people need this accountability. They people will only respect what we're going to inspect. In other words, if you have a Sunday school superintendent, they should be visible checking out how things are going. Periodically, I've said with paid staff, I've said, hey, we're going to video your class Sunday. I've do that quite a bit. I want to help them if learn in teaching or communicating or how to better make announcements or something. And people need to know that you're going to be checking on them. You're not just going to give them this and say goodbye. And if they're going to be getting soul winning, there's even a measure of accountability there. People don't respect what we don't inspect. So, number one, we expect spiritual leaders to be visibly involved in soul winning. The most valuable gift you can give another person is a good example. Let me put it this way. You can't teach an adult class in this church if you don't go soul winning. Okay. That's just the bottom line. And I'm going to love them and be their friend, and they can be in the class and so forth. But people do what people see. And we need leaders who visibly set that example there. Okay. So, and then number two, we expect spiritual staff leaders to keep a good prospect list. How many of you went to Bible college, just curious, all right, most of you? How many of you when you were in Bible college had to fill out a Christian service report? Let me just see. Okay. Our staff fills one out every Monday. And it's emailed in. And here's what theirs is. It's their prospect list. It's an updated prospect list. So our staff normally will have 5 to 10 on their prospect list, which I gave you yesterday. And they'll update that accordingly. And that's a help to us from the standpoint of we know who has which visitors if they're on staff, but we also want to help them with their soul winning. And our deacons do something similar to that, not so much soul winning related, but more visitation related at the deacons meeting. But what gets measured gets done. And we try to measure that and keep track of that. I haven't said anything in an entire year to any staff member about their soul winning, but Brother Furso may. And I, at times, if there's someone that there's this appearance that they haven't been going out and they're getting paid from the church, I have a problem with that. People need to have accountability in the areas of the Christian life. I'm just saying, with your staff, watch this. The higher they go in responsibility, then the higher they should go with accountability. Okay. Number three, review the follow-up status with teachers and staff. Review the follow-up status with teachers and staff. That would be lay teachers and paid staff. And what we're constantly doing from the soul winning ministry, and I'm speaking of Brother Furso and some of his staff here, is doing stuff like this. Hey, Brother Christensen, the family that we gave you 4 weeks ago, the Jones family, we have a record that you and John Smith visited them that first Tuesday. We have no record of a return visit. Where are we at on that? So that's the oversight ministry that Brother Furso and Brother Christensen are working between the soul winning and the Sunday school. And just looking back, okay, here's an idea. Here's just something, maybe one of you will want to do this. But this Sunday, this past Sunday, was our anniversary Sunday. So Besides door knocking, we knocked on 26,000 doors last week, a special emphasis week. But besides the door knocking, I wrote a personal letter, and here's what I said to one of the secretaries. I said, this letter is to every visitor that's visited since January 1st but has not yet been saved or baptized or joined the church. Okay, and we have a database that shows who that is, and it was lots. And I just said, hi, just want to drop you a note. Sure, good to have you visit with us a few months ago. This Sunday will be the 24th anniversary of Lancaster Baptist Church. We're going to have a special message by Dr. Sam Davison, special music. We'd sure love to have you. We did that. We sent the letter on Monday. Then we took those same names, and we called those folks on Friday. And as of Friday, we had some 20-some commitments from that particular list that they would be there. But it's not paperwork, it's people work, right? And it's just a matter of kind of going back and going back. And you say, well, do you reach dead ends? We reach tons of dead ends. But as long as there's any flicker there, we just keep going back. And with when you pass off a call to somebody, don't let it die right there. Use the 10 steps we talked about earlier. And as a pastor, keep checking back and kind of reminding them in the matter of soul winning. And as you are led by the Spirit, He's going to put impulses in your heart. And as we've said, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how you guys are in this, but it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit will bring things to your minds. I'm sure He does this. You're driving, you're even in church, and you'll think about this one who was absent. What about that guy that visited the other day from so-and-so, and where is he? And I write those things down, and sometimes it's like that. The guy that visited the other day with the blue shirt and the white shoes, you know, that's all I could remember. And then I'll ask several, oh, that guy. But when that comes to your mind, number one, write it down. And number two, follow up on that, because many times that's the Lord bringing those things to your mind, and God wants us to take those impulses and follow through with them. Well, fellas, I trust that we'll take our soul-winning ministries, evaluate them, maybe take a few of these ideas. How many of you would like to see more people saved this fall than ever in the history of your church? That's what it's all about. The fields are white unto harvest. You say, well, we had seven saved last September. Well, let's pray for a few more by the grace of God. You know, if you had 700, pray for a few more. Look at, this is not about a contest. This is not about big church, little church. This is just about all of God's work is big work. But let's all ask the Lord to work through us this fall for His glory.
You've been listening to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Dr. Paul Chappell. Today we've discussed how to keep soul winning at the forefront and how to truly have a soul winning church, a church that's committed to winning the lost to Jesus Christ. We hope today's lesson has challenged and encouraged you. Again, if you'd like the outline, be sure to visit Pastor Chappell's blog at paulchappell.com. Click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast and send us your email address. We would be happy to get you a copy of the outline for you to use in your own ministry. Also, this is the time of year that we release a bunch of new resources through Striving Together Publications. We are so excited about what God has allowed us to work on in recent months. I'll encourage you to visit us at strivingtogether.com for a full list of the resources. Once again, that's strivingtogether.com. On the website, you'll find a vast collection of great Christian books, curriculum for your adult classes and teen classes, and lots of other resources for spiritual growth and local church ministry. I want to quickly mention just a few of the resources that are available recently or in the coming days. First of all, the Choice is Yours curriculum. This is a ladies' Bible study from Mrs. Terry Chappell based on the book The Choice is Yours that was released about a year ago. If you're looking for some ladies' Bible study material for an adult Bible class or a midweek Bible study for your ladies, this is a tremendous resource. 10 lessons with a student guide and a teacher guide. Some books that we're very excited about. First of all, Dr. Chappell's new book, Stewarding Life. It's a book that was born out of an unexpected trial that God brought into his life about a year ago related to his health. This book explores about 10 or 12 of the most important values of life and how to steward those values by God's grace and with his wisdom. You won't want to miss this read. It's a tremendous equipping book, Stewarding Life. Also, we've been happy to partner with Dr. Bud Calvert on a book entitled Emotional Victory, How to Deal with How You Feel. If you ever counsel folks that are struggling with destructive emotions, this will be a tremendous help to them, how to deal with how you feel. A third book that we're releasing this coming week is Trusting God in Troubled Times by Dr. R.B. Ouellette, Developing an Unshakable Faith for unpredictable circumstances. Every chapter of this book challenged my life as I read through it and worked on the manuscript. Trusting God in troubled times is, again, a great resource, especially if you're counseling someone that's going through a trial. We're also excited that we've released the Student Journey Teen Discipleship Curriculum. It's appropriate for teenagers and young adults. We hope you'll take a look at this 26-lesson curriculum that's designed to be meted out, taught in 20-minute segments. It's actually designed for students to lead other students through it. And finally, we're looking forward to the curriculum Living Beyond Your Capacity from Dr. Chappell and also Walking Through Fire from Dr. John Getch. Both of these curriculums are adult Bible studies for your adult classes or for your church family for Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a study of the Holy Spirit. Walking Through Fire is a study verse by verse through 1 Peter. We hope you'll visit us again at strivingtogether.com to see all of these new resources. We're very excited about them. And don't forget to live stream the Spiritual Leadership Conference just a couple of weeks away, June 10th through the 13th. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And until next month, have a great day as you serve and lead God's people to impact our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ.